So it's Christmas Eve, and the Savior's coming. Are you ready? If you're not, it's too late. It's Christmas Eve. Stores are closed. It's either now or nothing, right? So I know you're ready. I want to take you back for just a moment, though, because there's a lot of chaos that leads up to this moment, maybe in your life as well. Think about how chaotic that night was. I mean, think about what it must have been like, Mary and Joseph, all the chaos of that evening, and they'd just been on this exhaustive journey. Listen to this again from Luke 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. There was no room in the inn. And obviously you can't call ahead and make reservations, right? There's no room. But have you thought about this part of the story? What have you thought about it from the innkeeper's perspective? Let's take a look at this.
Listen, if I'd known then what I know now, there would have been room in my inn. Oy vey, I would have given up my own bed. But I didn't know. How could I know, right? Now, Bethlehem was so full of people. I mean, the government, they made everybody in the world go back to the hometown and register. You know, government has to have the money. And since nobody wants to stay with the in-laws, I'm full. I remember that day. We were full before dinner time, and now it's 2-3 hours after dinner when they show up. Talk about desperate. He was exhausted and scared, and she was about to burst. And as they're approaching my place, I'm thinking in my head, I know what I'll say to them. I'll say, I'm sorry, we don't have room. But by the time they get there, they just stand for a minute, gather their thoughts. He looks down, he's thinking. I notice she winces ever so slightly in pain. And he looks at me, and he says, please. That's all he said, please. Let me tell you a story. I'm 5 years old, right? I'm helping my mother set the table. I noticed that she has one too many plates, so I say to her, Ma, you got one too many plates, you know? And she says back to me, you never know who may show up. I look at her like, what? She walks over to me. She says, you never know who God may bring your way. You always make room. So I look back at the couple, and I say to them, I don't know where we'll put you, but we'll make room for you. And we did. It wasn't the nicest room, but it's all I had to give them. Mom was right. You always make room.
I think he said, if I had only known that she was carrying the Christ child, I would have given them my own bed. I mean, hindsight's 20/20, right? I mean, if I had only known. I mean, I got a lot of those, if I had only known. You probably have some too. Like, had I only known that Amazon would be worth $160 billion today, I would have bought stock back in 1995 when they were just selling books. If I had only known that making habanero hot sauce would destroy my contacts, I would have wore my glasses. True story. If I had only known that I was going to have 3 beautiful daughters, I would have started saving like when I was 10 years old. Right? If I had known that my dad was going to die early, you know, just a few years after I entered into the ministry to become a pastor, I probably would have called him every single day for ministry advice and of course, taken every opportunity possible to tell him how much I love him. If I had only known, right? Hindsight's 20/20. You know, looking back at the past can teach you some things, right? If I'd only known, I would have done this or done that or whatever. But do we learn from our past? We can't change the past, but we can make a difference going forward, right? What's the past taught you? Now, if you have wonderful memories from this time of the year, then maybe you're trying to keep those same traditions and memories with your family today. God bless you in that. If this time of the year kind of casts a shadow over things, well, then maybe you're trying to create new memories and new traditions for your family. God bless you that and that as well. But either way, it can be exhausting, right? It can be exhausting. We look back at how things were. We look at how things are right now. Again, think of this couple exhausted in front of an inn with no vacancy, with the hustle and bustle of an overcrowded city behind them, with an exhaustion, Joseph has nothing left to say but, please. It's a desperate time. This time of year is a desperate time for a lot of people. Days are shorter, less light, more darkness. It can be a tough time for everybody. So much stress to get everything right, so much chaos and all that last minute shopping, all for what? So that we can celebrate Christmas. And sometimes the only thing left in us is an exasperated, please. Do we really appreciate all that Mary and Joseph had to go through? I mean, again, it says in the Bible that each one had to go to their own hometown. The government could have sent people out to those regions to count the people, but, you know, sometimes the government likes us to stand in line, right? We get upset when we have to go to the DMV. Well, Mary had to ride for days on a donkey while she was 9 months pregnant. Sometimes please is all you can manage. We've all been there, right? We've all hit that point when we are completely done, but we have absolutely no choice but to keep going. Please. You know, what about the college student that studied all night long and still just got a 79 on their test and now their scholarship is in jeopardy? What about the exhausted dad at the store who's trying to push the stroller with one hand and carry his toddler in the other? What about the spouse that's sitting beside the hospital bed of the person they spent the last 60 years sleeping beside? Sometimes please is all we have left. Please, Lord. But you see, this is why Jesus came, right? Born into the cold and the darkness in a hurting world. This is why Jesus came, to meet you right in your, well, maybe it's exhaustion or stress or wherever you are right now. He came to meet you right where you are at today. You know, there can be stress with traditions and stuff, but, you know, Christmas brings out traditions, and maybe you have a tradition you're continuing on with your family that you learned as a child. And as that video skit showed us, moms always have the best wisdom, right? I mean, if their wisdom is passing down a tradition, or maybe it's just wisdom itself, if there's one thing we learn, always listen to mom. Hear that, kids? All right? Always listen to mom. I remember when I was growing up, you know, hearing these words coming from my mom. See if you can complete this phrase. When she says, why? Because I said, exactly, right? You know, or what about this one? Stop crying or I will give you something to cry about. In one of the services, they said a spanking. I'm like, come on, easy. Or what about this one? I'm your mother, not your maid. Right, right. But again, in one of the services, someone said friend. I'm like, they're a millennial. Your parents are not your friends. All right, they're your parents. I'm your mother, not your maid. So God said that he would send Elijah back to you. So for 2,000 years, Jewish mothers have been telling their children to set an extra place at the table. They do this during the Seder meal. And it's based on this promise from Malachi. Malachi 4:5 says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. That great and awesome day is what we're celebrating tonight. that he came in the middle of the night in an overcrowded Bethlehem in the backyard of an inn inside a stable suited for animals. The Messiah is born, the Lord of hosts, the Word made flesh. You never know who God might put in your path, in your way. You know, most of us can look at our spouse and say, yeah, you know, I firmly believe that God brought that person into your life. It's even in our wedding ceremony, what God has joined together. So I want you to picture a dinner table in your head for a moment and put the greatest teachers in your life around that table. So your mom better be sitting there, okay? Maybe dad too, okay? A coach, maybe a favorite teacher or professor, they're all there. And what if that last place at the table, which is empty, in comes to your dinner party, the one person in your life you can't stand? But isn't it true that we sometimes learn the most from these people? Don't these people make us stronger? So here's where I'm going with this. What if we treated every single person that we met in any given day as if God put them there for a reason? God put that cashier in your day, whether she says, have a nice day, and really means it, or she's rolling her eyes because you can't make your card work right on the machine. If you believe that God put her in your life, would you treat her any differently? Or what if you saw Jesus in every person that you met? Take this lesson from another mother of sorts, a godly woman, Mother Teresa. She says, I see Jesus in every human being. I say to myself, this is hungry Jesus, I must feed him. This is sick Jesus, this one has leprosy or gangrene, I must wash him and tend to him. I serve because I love Jesus. What if you treated every person in your daily path as someone God put there for a reason? Now, I'm not saying that we should lose our day, our entire day, trying to analyze every person we meet and every move. That's weird, okay? And that would be exhausting. But you get the point, I hope. It's maybe a different way to see your daily routine. But there's nothing routine about this time of year, is it? I mean, we're lucky to have time enough just to get the basics of life accomplished, much less have time for other people, or dare I say it, even time for Jesus. But the innkeeper says, you always make room. We say, it's the Christmas season. There's hardly any vacancies in our schedules with our time, with our work, even with our family. But you know what? We have to confess this. It's not just the Christmas season. I mean, that kind of feeling and exhaustion and chaos, that's year-round for many of us. And you know, as we get older, yeah, we look back because hindsight's always 20/20. I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have set more time for this or spent more time with him or her. But now it's too late. We count our regrets and move forward. You know, I was called to the hospital to meet with someone who was dying. This was a number of years ago. And this individual had spent a good part of his life abusing his body. And with that comes some ugly consequences, loss of a marriage, loss of jobs, and now losing his health. Before he went into the hospital, though, he went back to church. He said he never made room for the most important things in life, like faith. Nah, he says, I was too wrapped up in the world. And he said how much he regretted not getting to know Jesus better earlier, because it would have made such a big difference, not only on his life, but the people around him. Now, in the end, he got to know Jesus again. He came to faith, and it wasn't long after that that he would get to see him face to face in heaven. But the point here is not to wait until the end. You know, where you're counting your regrets alongside your lucky stars and hopes to sneak into heaven. Because not everyone knows when their end will be, and stacking up regrets is really not a good way to live anyway. And there will always be regrets because we're not perfect, that's true. I mean, there's no way that the innkeeper could have known that the parents of the Messiah would be knocking on his door in need of a room. I'd only known. But we're in a much different position than the innkeeper, aren't we? Oh, there's some knocking on the door, right? And who's knocking now is Jesus, right? And he says to you, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." That's Jesus knocking. And it's so hard sometimes to hear that knocking because we have all of the busyness and chaos and noise that's all around us. He wants you on this night to hear him knocking. Maybe he's been knocking on your heart for some time now, and he says, I want you to hear my voice. Maybe he's been standing there knocking for some time, and he's just standing there, and he says, "Please, I want to spend more time with you," he says. "I want you to know me better," he says. "I want you to know why I came into this world, why I came for you. I died for you." And he says to you on this Christmas night, and he says, and I love you. Would you pray with me? Lord God, gracious, loving Father, who on this night sent your only begotten Son because you so loved this world and everyone in it, how can we not make room for you? We are here in this place of worship because you sent your Son. You saw what was needed to be restored because of our sin. You saw what debt needed to be paid because of our sin, and you came down into the chaos of this world for the sole purpose of paying for our sins on the cross. And in your glorious resurrection, you declare victory for all who believe in you, our Messiah, our Redeemer, and on this night, our newborn King. Help us to make room every day to see you, and not only see you, but to see the people around us that others may know you. Lord, that's who we are as a congregation blessed by you, together in Christ that others may know Christ, the Savior who has come and is coming again. And all God's people say,
amen.